There was a church in Ohio that decided that they wanted to reach out and touch their community. They wanted to do it through acts of kindness and mercy to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to the people where they lived. And they came up with an idea. And the pastor called a local grocery store and to share what they wanted to offer. An employee answered the phone and listened to the pastor. And then he said, "I'm going to put you on hold, but before I do, I need to ask you if I understand what you said. You said that you want your congregation to come here and clean up the parking lot of the grocery store. You want to restore the shopping carts back into the grocery store. You want to help the customers to their cars with their groceries. And if necessary, you want to hold the umbrellas for them. Am I hearing you right? And you don't want anything in return for doing this." And the pastor said, "That's right. Sir, let me speak to my manager." While the employee came back on the line and he said, "I'm sorry, sir. We can't let you do that. Because if we let you do that, we've got to let everybody else do that." Now, I can almost hear the manager of the store. They want to do what? Nobody does that. They want something for themselves. I know it. I don't trust them. What they wanted was to reach out and share the love of Jesus Christ with people. They wanted to exercise something called the gift of mercy. Romans 12, verse 6, Paul said, We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Some of you have the gift of showing mercy, and you do it cheerfully. And when you do it, it builds this body of ours called Covenant Fellowship. Thank you. And thank God for giving you that gift. But let's be sure that we know what we're talking about. There are different kinds of mercy. When we think of mercy, often the first thing that comes to our mind is withholding punishment when punishment is deserved. It's an act of pardon. In fact, we have a common expression. He threw himself at the mercy of the court. That's what we think about. And we all know that God has done that for us. In fact, that's why we're here. We're here to thank him and praise him for his mercy and his grace in our lives. Say amen, somebody. Amen. He is a merciful God. In fact, Paul said this in Ephesians 2, verse 4. God is rich in mercy. But here's something interesting. Sometimes God is only merciful in the King James Version. RB had to leave and go to work. So. He missed a wonderful moment, didn't he? Thank you, Steve. For instance, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, King James Version. He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. Here is the same passage in the NIV and in a number of other popular translations. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to those who love him. Here is another example, very familiar. Psalm 23, King James Version. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. NIV and others. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Which is it? Is he a God of love or is he a God of mercy? The answer, of course, is that he is both. But why is there a discrepancy in the translations? And it's because there is a problem with semantics in the original language. The Hebrew word is hesed, and the word hesed means more than mercy. Our word mercy just doesn't capture it. And in fact, the word hesed means more than love. Our word love just doesn't capture it. It's something like this. It's steadfast love. It's covenant love. It's loving kindness. In fact, that's how it's translated in some other places. When put into action, biblical mercy is showing loving kindness beyond what is expected. And that is what that church had in mind when they called that grocery store. And that is what Jimmy and Rosalind Carter had in mind when they helped build houses for Habitat for Humanity. Did you know that Bob Lipa and Patty Lipa used to build houses for Habitat for Humanity in Baltimore? I asked Bob this morning how long they did that, and he wasn't sure he remembered, but he thinks it was about 7 years that they labored building houses. That's showing biblical mercy. That's showing loving kindness beyond what is expected. Perhaps some of the others in this room have done the same thing. Has anyone else here ever built houses? Okay, hold you. One, two, three. Bob, you have company. There's three other people here who've done that. Biblical mercy. It's one thing to write a check to Habitat for Humanity. It's quite another thing to roll up your sleeves and help build a house for somebody in need. I've shared this example from the Bible before. It is demonstrated in one word in this passage, Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40. Listen for that one word and see if you can pick it out. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. What was the one word? Was it compassion? No. It was touched. Touched. Jesus touched a leper. No one would dare touch a leper. To touch a leper meant you were unclean. Showing biblical mercy may mean getting your hands dirty. Showing biblical mercy is intentionally touching people who are suffering. It's getting close to people who are not accustomed to others getting close to them, but they need it just as much as you and I need it. Do you think I'm talking about people in Africa or India or Haiti or Baltimore? Yes, I am. But I'm also talking about people who are breathing the very same air that you are breathing right at this minute. Look around. There are people within your reach right now. Some of them are suffering. Some of them are in need. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about people in this room whom you can easily get to and minister to. When you engage in church bodybuilding, sometimes you have to do more than just be friendly. Sometimes you have to do more than just promise to pray for someone. Sometimes you have to do more than just write a check. Sometimes you have to get your hands dirty. Some of you people do that instinctively. You have the gift of mercy. You are gifted that way. Hallelujah. Some people who are gifted that way have this mysterious radar, and they seem to be able to hear and see and sense when someone is in need, even if that someone hasn't even expressed the fact that they are hurting or that they have a need. Maybe they don't have the courage to speak up and say that they are hurting. And some people are more like me. They need to have their radar helped and adjusted and strengthened. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." That is hesed. That is mercy with skin on it. But when Jesus taught that, he was not talking just to those who have the gift of mercy. He was talking to everyone within his hearing. He was talking to all of us together, everyone in the church. And he was saying, "Hey folks, you need to do some bodybuilding." You may not know the name of Cliff Richard. I didn't. Cliff Richard is a famous pop singer. He's most famous in England. And in fact, he sold almost as many recordings as the Beatles in England. That's how popular he is there. He claims to be a Christian, but his lifestyle doesn't often match his profession of faith. In 1990, Reader's Digest did a story about Cliff Richard, and this was the story. He had visited a refugee camp in Bangladesh, and it was a photo op. It was to make him look compassionate to his fans. And he said, "That first morning, I must have washed my hands a dozen times. I did not want to touch anything, least of all these people. Everyone in those camps was covered with sores and scabs. I was bending down to one little boy, mainly for the photographer's benefit, and trying hard not to get too close. Just then, someone accidentally stepped on the child's fingers and he screamed. And as a reflex, I grabbed him, forgetting about his dirt and his sores. And I remember that warm little body clinging to me, and his crying stopped. And in that moment, I knew I had much to learn about practical Christian loving. Biblical mercy is showing one another that kind of loving kindness. And I suspect that most of us here have much to learn about practical Christian loving. Do I love you? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. Do I love you practically? Am I willing to get my hands dirty for you? For you, for me? For the person on your right or left or behind you or in front of you? Or across the aisle? I was thinking about ways that some of you have demonstrated biblical mercy in this fellowship, and I do not want to embarrass anyone here because no one that I am about to mention really wants recognition. No one here wants to be congratulated. They want God to receive all the glory. But here are just a few examples that came to my mind. Lisa Schwab stayed up all night long with Lois Moll by Fred's side as Fred was fighting for his life. That's loving kindness. Renee Cross needed some help in her home. And Steve and Alice Bowen went to her home and helped spread gravel in the driveway. And they helped put flooring into her home and did more. Russell Gibbs picks up the telephone and calls people when they're sick. Milt Greffin and Bud Eli took all that food that you brought at Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they hauled that food, made sure that it got distributed. Do you know how hard that is to take all that stuff? And in the same way, Ed and Karen McGee, they took all those boxes at Christmas time, at Operation Christmas Child, week after week, boxes and full of things, and that takes a lot of work. John and Elaine McClure visit people in the hospital all the time. Callie Petticord, I remember how Callie helped Ruth Crockett in many ways as she was aging in her 90s, and she helped her with a lot of things at home and drove her to church every week. That's loving kindness. Some of you pitch in right here and help set up on Sunday mornings. Thank you. That is loving kindness. Some of you linger and help us break down all this stuff and get it out to the trailer on Sunday morning. That's loving kindness. Even our two youngest ones who aren't here today, Gwen and Elena, they help Mama Lipa almost every Sunday. They bring in the paraments and they bring in things. They help set things up and get them right for you. That is loving kindness. Judy Hooks has taken Renee to more doctors and surgeries than Judy has had in her own lifetime herself. Just think what Judy did for the economy of Scotland and Italy and France and Greece. That is loving kindness. Those are just a few of the thoughts that I had. We're surrounded by people who have that gift and who exercise that gift. And I am always impressed with people who faithfully will just do a simple thing. They'll send a card to someone who has a need and write a personal note on the card. That is not the first thing I think of doing. But some of you do. Everyone can show mercy, unexpected acts of loving kindness. All it takes is caring enough and deciding to do it. Those of you with that gift, it's an awesome gift, and it's building this body, and it will help build the body of Jesus Christ. If you have that gift, you tend to be deeply loyal to your friends. You tend to empathize with people when they're hurting. You tend to make decisions based on the needs of other people rather than yourself. Perhaps, if you have that gift, you understand God's mercy better than those of us who don't have that gift. Reverend Bill Hybels said something that's very convicting. He said, "I would never want to reach out someday with a soft, uncalloused hand, never dirtied by serving, and shake the nail-pierced hand of Jesus." It was those nail-pierced hands that gave you and me our mercy, our loving kindness. You see, mercy is showing love to people who are not always lovely. That's you. That's me. Mercy is showing love to people who are sometimes hard to love. That's you. That's me. When God told Jesus that he was going to send Jesus to save us from ourselves and to save us from the devil, I wonder what we looked like to him. Here's a hint. Colossians 1:21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. That's what we looked like. Enemies. Enemies. And yet he came. Romans 5, verse 10. When we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son. That is the most unexpected act of kindness in history. That was mercy personified. That was Jesus reaching out and touching us when nobody else would. Reach out and touch a soul that is hungry. Reach out and touch a spirit in despair. Reach out and touch a life torn and dirty. A man who is lonely. If you care. Are you lonely? Are you lonely? Are you hungry for any kind of healing whatsoever? Do you need someone to reach out to you and touch your life? First, I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is still here. For where two or three are gathered together in his name, he promises to be here. And he is with you, touching you, always. And let me remind us all that he wants all of us to be in the mercy business too. That is one of the primary ways that we build the body. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you that you are a great example of touching lives and changing lives. And I thank you, Lord, that there are those here who are a living example of the gift of mercy. And I thank you, Lord, that you have called us all to get our hands dirty if necessary, to lift one another up, to sustain one another, to help each of us lift our heads and see Jesus Christ, even in the midst of all the muck of this life and this world. So, Lord, open our eyes that we can see one another and hear one another and sense one another and the needs that are here in this very room and build this body for the glory of Jesus Christ. I pray that in his name. Amen.